Fuck this game, Matt, you cheating bitch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to an episode of the Calicom Blogcast. My name is Matthew. On tonight's show, we have a multitude of topics ranging from Code Geass to Unity to Cyberpunk to Persona and TGS to KomoriCon, and we'll finish up with some Crunchyroll news. And to do all that tonight, I have Nate.
Y'all got me addicted to the Code Geass game. Now I'm downloading it now on my phone.
Very nice. Jericho?
Yeah, the caster's in my chair, bro. I don't know what to do.
And finally, Ryan.
You cheating whore! I swear to God, Matt, you're not free to play. You cheated, you used codes, you used all the hacks, and now this game is just bullshit.
Speaking of all that, I feel like we're going to start doing this segment regularly every time we do a podcast, maybe every other podcast. We're going to give an update about this mobile game called Code Geass Lost Stories that we're playing. And the opening that you heard at the beginning of the podcast, that was Pendulum from Flow. And if you really can figure it out, like, Flow did two of the Code Geass songs. They did Colors and then they did World End. The fact that Flow came back for this mobile game is fucking fantastic. But as you kind of heard on already in the podcast, Ryan thinks that I've cheated because, okay, so let me give you all of the 4 stars I have so far. I have Zero Lelouch, I have Cornelia, Colin, Suzaku, Euphemia, C2. The only one I don't have is C2 Zero. And then I have Jeremiah, Valletta, Dalton, Guilford. I also have the Black Knight's Calling, and then I have a whole bunch of other ones. Although, it's funny, because remember, my favorite waifu from the Geass franchise is Millie. So while I have all of these stat characters, my level 1 Millie is like my home character.
Dude, I mean the thing is that, like, having your chances of actually getting waifus in this game is really... Well, I mean, here's the thing. There's so many characters in Code Geass. I mean, you know, what's the best thing to do is, like, get the best characters, I guess, and make a team. I have no idea how this game works. I'm going to try it out, but
you'll figure it out. Mostly you just, like, assign your nightmare frames with the proper, like, how the character plays, whether it's long range or close range. At the moment, there's 45 different pilots, including with the new banners coming up.
I saw there's 2 new characters. Are you the character that's the new one here?
Yes.
You can either be male or female, this depending on how you want to out the game to play out in the beginning. You can change it at any time, but just know that dialogue options will change depending on what orientation you play as.
I see.
So, long story short, the Lost Stories version of Code Geass, it takes place alongside the original anime series. So basically, you're just along for the ride as a member of the Black Knights, or whatever. I've only been through. Okay, so,
yeah. Okay, so it's pretty much following along with the Code Geass story. That's what you said. So it's just like you're technically it's a retelling of like the things that happen in the Code Geass anime, right?
Yes, but it's from a different perspective. It's from a third party.
From the hero's perspective. Okay. So it's like, are you a civilian? You're just looking at these like robots battle.
Well,
you're not a civilian, so to speak.
Yeah, you're very special. You're in the Colin Kozuki class. You're half Britannian, half Japanese.
Hmm.
Honorary Britannian, not.
I don't know. Their names is called Hero or Heroine, so it's like.
You can change the name to whatever you want.
Oh, I can. Okay.
Speaking of units, I know you're talking about the units, like there's more to come. Like I've already seen that because I already have regular Jeremiah, but then there's a robot Jeremiah that you can pull sometime in the future. I talked about it before. There's Cornelia and Euphemia in like sports outfits. I just showed Ryan today. There is a pullable C2 where it's all about pizza. I shit you not. All that, I shit you not. Hold on, let me get the image. I'll post it on our Discord. It is
also. I can't change my last name.
Okay. No. Your last name is story driven. Trust me.
You're gonna be Diesel the entire. You're gonna be Diesel the entire game.
Yeah, it says Diesel. I'm like, okay, I can't change that. I guess.
So
okay,
I gotta ask guys. So since I'm not playing the game, is any of this sponsored by Pizza Hut?
Don't know, but given that what I just posted, I wish it was.
I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Japan, they might have done a sponsorship or maybe a slight little code for something for it. Maybe.
Dude, there's four fucking pies in that one photo.
She needs more pies.
She needs more pies.
Is this supposed to be like a four-star? Oh, I see a four-star banner.
It's a four-star C2, but it's all about pizza.
Yeah, I see the pizza.
And then we talked about it a couple weeks earlier, the Cecile Dresch banner. So within the game, every day, in order to encourage you to log in, they do offer a one-time free pool on with the regular cast. And somehow I got Cornelia out of it. So I don't know where the fuck this luck is coming from. I think I might have traded in my poker luck for Geass luck.
I guess the luck just goes onto the video game then.
Yeah. But here is the problem. And if you go back to my team that I posted earlier today, they can't block for shit. It's like the fucking Jets offensive line. All right. I got like a Hall of Famer and like a really good starter. Then I have like three fucking rookies on the offensive line. They can't block for shit. Colin can block for three. Suzaku can block for two. Cornelia, Guilford, Jeremiah can't block for shit. They can only block one.
Huh.
And it's maddening because there are some units that will only appear after they've been blocked.
Hmm.
So if you don't have blocking units, you're going to get fucked in this game. Now, what I'm hearing is go pull for Toto because Toto can block.
Toto with the police shield is broken. Early game.
Oh.
He's a Protag talks, which is good.
All yeah, right, it's everything is fully voiced.
Yeah, which is great compared to like other games that, you know, we don't have really much voices. So it's like when you play the Protag, he's just not really talking. Thanks, P5.
Thanks, P5. Ryan, how you doing in the game?
Well, given the fact that I didn't get to use all the codes like a certain somebody who kept them to himself. I'm doing decent. I have 3-4 stars out of all the possible ones I've been trying to pull. Been trying to pull for 0 C2, and that's pull 3 times, no luck. I haven't tried 0 Lelouch yet, but I want best tank and technically best outfit for C2 yet as of game released here in the North American servers. But team currently consists of Cornelia, Darlton, Colin, Shirley, C2, Ashford Lelouch, Millie, and Jeremiah. Millie being one of the best healers in the game, or the next to Euphemia, since I don't have Yuffie, unlike somebody. I have to, like, for my healers, I kind of have to play Millie and Shirley to kind of keep my team alive, but then just using Jeremiah to get either all the Britannians on the field or just get a bunch of units as fast as possible on the field so it's not like a complete open field. The thing that really pisses me off about this game is all the aerial units you have to deal with outside of the ground units, and that fucking just upsets me every time when I have a perfect setup. Next thing you know, they just fly by him like it's nothing. Or like they, or your team doesn't even notice the aerial units, and like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Come on, range units, do what you're supposed to do. And they're just like,
Yeah, that's where Valetta comes in, because Valetta will give you, when she goes on the field, she gives you a 40% boost in anti-air.
Thankfully, I have Valetta. I'm just trying to find a perfect way to use her or allocate her in my team. Just, I have two good healers. I have a lot of range, but it's just like, I need more ground units because I can't just focus highly on all everyone just sitting on obstacles to just shoot aerial or people on the ground. Because if I don't have anyone on the ground, they're just, the ground units are just going to get to your base and like end the game.
I think my biggest issue is I have too many mouths to feed. Because if you notice, it takes a lot of XP books to feed my all my characters.
If you're doing the training part element of the game, or at least just like doing the daily missions to get extra XP or whatever you need for your nightmare frames, it does come in handy.
Yeah, that is true. Because right now, like I found I was using Jeremiah on the anti-air. Then I realized that like his on the ground skills is like
ground combat is a lot better.
Yeah, he's ground combat. So I just got to work on getting his Sutherland up, because it's really weak, but he's a strong-ass character. So, yeah, it's still really early game. I believe with the recent Chapter 4, we're now on to where the Black Knights form up, because that's when they go to Lake Biwa, and they have the hotel hijacking with the JLF, you know, that part of the plot line. So we're about half of the way through, like, episode 10-ish.
Okay, because, so you're pretty much like halfway through the first season then, in that case.
Yeah, because when you play the opener, the tutorial is all based off of Naruto. That happens after this current chapter that just came out recently.
I may step in for a quick second. I have to say, this is probably one of the worst games that holds your damn hand, like, for like a good like half of not like, like, actually, no, a good half of the first chapter, it holds your hand until, like, I just want to get in the game. I just want to do what I want to do. No, we're going to hold your hand. You're going to summon when we tell you to. You're going to do this when we tell you to. We're going to do this when we tell you to. And you have no freedom until at least almost chapter 2.
Okay, so they're pretty much hand-holding you throughout, like, most of the game until what you said, Ryan, until later in the story.
It's just kind of irritating. I kind of like to, like, just kind of play the game, like, let me do a tutorial for a short bit, or at least let me do a
tutorial. Can be helpful just because, like, some of these units that, I mean, I'm playing it right now, and like, there's some units that are long range, there are some units that are like defensive, and this one, I mean, the main character that you have is just pretty much attacking right in front of robots. Well, one of them is like long range, which is good to also have. I know that you're talking about like story in the game. There's other things that you can do besides that, right? Like, you have, like, things where you can, like, get some money to get some, like, in-game currency. Yeah.
There's dailies, there's expeditions. It's kind of like a, I don't want to say, like, a roguelite, but it's like a survival mode. Where if one of your, it's kind of like permadeath for that particular run. If they die, you can't bring them back.
It's like Fire Emblem.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a Fire Emblem. Yeah, and then I did unlock challenge mode, and yeah, I'm going to need some buff-ass units. And then Extra Stories has not come out just yet.
Still waiting for faction battles. That's going to be fun.
Oh, that's going to be fun. 13, yeah, so
13 units I need to deploy.
Oh, yeah, okay. so you need points. And this is where, like, for example, where Jeremiah, because that's soon, because when I deploy him, I immediately get 21 points of deployment. And then when I pull out Guilford, he gives me like some points. So kind of like throwing Jeremiah out for, especially at a cost of 10, gives me like a net to immediately throw out Cornelia. The problem is he can't block for shit. So I'm kind of stuck at this. I can't block for shit. I fucking hate anti-air.
Oh, I realize we also have units that can heal or like help the other units out. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's other ones. And there's other ones too as well.
Oh, I was going on about healers, and Nate mentioned that. That's why you have like the likes of. I won't really say C2 because she gives you more of a shield if you're playing the base C2. But that's why you have the likes of Millie or your Shirley's, your Euphemia's, if you have Euphemia. Those are going to be some of your best options for healers starting out.
Okay. That is if you pull her, that is, right?
Correct.
Okay, so now I'm understanding like the whole like concept of like... So the thing is like you just deploy them and then all they're doing is just attacking based on like how, you know...
Like I said, plays just like Arknights.
Okay, now it makes sense. Until the next time we check up, I'll probably be like working on my unit too.
Well, if you're gonna keep playing through the podcast, I think at some point we're gonna have to stop because you have to roll. You get your first
tutorial. Okay.
So, sure. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
We'll do it live.
Yeah. We'll listen to that shit live. So
anyways, let's get to you all with the episode before we.
Yeah. So
don't write it. We'll do it live.
No. We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
So fucking
Matt sucks.
Oh my god.
So speaking of things that suck, Unity.
Oh boy.
Oh dear god.
I just heard the news from like what was it, YouTube, and yeah, this isn't good.
So last week, Unity came out with this new thing called Runtime Fee. And this is what we're supposed to do just on a surface level. Developers who use Unity's free tier development services would owe Unity 20 cents per installation once their game hit a threshold of 200,000 downloads and earned $200,000 in revenue. Developers paying over $2,000 a year for a Unity Pro plan would have to hit higher thresholds and would be charged with lower fees. And the new fees would start in 2024. So yeah, they're trying to do it per download. And guess what? A lot of Game Pass games use Unity. And I think at some point they said that they're gonna try to pass the cost on of what's happening to the likes of Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. It says here. So initially, there's an Axios article of what happened initially, and then there's a TechCrunch article about what was walked back initially. And it says here, the next day, Unity clarified and walked back some of their policy, explaining that the fees would not be retroactive, and changing the policy so that the first installation on the device would incur a cost. Because people worried about, what if I install the game and uninstall the game, then reinstall the game? Does that count as two? What about pirated copies?
That is true. Good question, too.
So it says here, the fees would also be sent to distributors, such as Microsoft in the case of Game Pass.
Game Pass and that's a good service.
You want to charge Microsoft? You know what they're going to say? Shut the fuck up.
Good fucking luck.
You need to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, good luck with that, Unity. Jeez.
Dude, if they're willing to crack down on the dude named Bowser for the shit that he did, what makes you think Nintendo's gonna go fucking hard on your asses over them trying to give you a bill? I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? We're Nintendo. So, of course, the internet, which is up and fucking up, we're like, we can't do this. It's gonna cost us thousands. You know, if not a lot of money, people were trying to go to like something like Godot, which is an alternative. There's always Unreal Engine, but it's like, god damn. So finally, there's a post that there's a Twitter post or X from Mario64 that'll link to a blog post from Unity that says, okay, we've heard everything. So it says now here is there will be no runtime fee for games built on Unity Personal. We're also increasing the cap from 100,000 to 200,000 and some other shit. Mm. For those on Unity Pro and Unity Enterprise, the runtime fee will only begin with the next version of Unity. So games that are currently like being worked on right now will not be charged under the old system. And now, okay, because I have to go back really quick. So when they rolled it back initially, the fees were now going to be limited to 4% of a game's revenue once it reached $1 million. Unreal starts charging a 5% royalty after $1 million in gross revenue. And people are like, no, we can't even have that. So now they rolled it back, and now it's 2.5% revenue share, or the calculated amount based upon the number of the new new people engaging with your game each month, and it's going to be the lesser of the two. So while they're not completely rolling back the runtime fee, it's going to be a new feature in Unity, which I think people are still going to be pissed off because everyone wants to be off of the runtime fee structure and back to what it was at the beginning of September, for example. Any thoughts so far?
This just feels like Unity just wants to grab more money. They just wanted to help, like, get players to, I don't know, get players more fumed at them and stuff like that. So,
what does it have to be with players? This is more developer sense.
Well, that's true, yeah. So this really has been affecting, like...
Well, people that use Unity. Because, again, I said, people use Unreal and people use this thing called Godot, which got really popular after Unity decided to pull their bullshit.
Mm-hmm. It just really sucks for the developers to see all these people getting cheated out of money or just cheated because of the fact that someone wants more money or they want a cut of the pie. I mean, I feel bad for, like, creators, the people behind Among Us are, like, literally pulling out of Unity because of the fact that they don't want anything to do with it. They think just because the game is really popular, I can get they want to cut. But, like, goddamn, they're just an indie kind of company. They're not, like, the big shots, like, a la, like, Sega or Capcom or any of, like, the big wigs. And you're taking that big cut of that big piece of pie out of your budget. Like, that could kill an indie studio, like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, it senses the charge that much when you're just starting out. I mean, yeah, they might have upped the threshold a little bit, but still, that's sure. It's not like we said earlier, it's not like Unreal prices, but it's still pretty bad for what it's worth.
Especially if you're someone like the creators of Among Us, where their game just took off overnight. And it's like, under this new system, yeah, they'd be spending a shitload of money because everyone was downloading Among Us. Everyone was playing it during the pandemic.
People still are.
People still are to this day, especially with the fact that they have a brand new map coming out for Among Us.
Yeah. Now, somebody said money.
Yes.
Oh boy. So there is an underlying maybe twinge of insider trading here. So Unity CEO John Riccitiello shifted 2,000 shares of Unity before they announced the new fees. And several other on Unity's board of directors have also sold shares. So it's kind of like, did y'all know this shit was coming and you decided to sell your shares off? By the way, if that name sounds familiar, John Riccitiello, he had two stints at a little known company called Electronic Arts.
Oh, great. Well, if you say EA, you know its reputation from there.
Well, here's the thing. I said two-time because he was at the top of EA from 97 to 04, and then again from 07 to 13.
Yeah.
He was the one who launched Origin. Under his tenure, they launched Origin. If you remember Origin. And then and this Eurogamer article that I will post, this is also the time that the Old Republic came out and tried to be like the next World of Warcraft killer or the next World of Warcraft.
Update. I'm currently without the scout for the game.
Okay, all right. Pause. Okay.
I don't know. Okay, so what banner should I go for? Pilots?
No. It's
the first one.
It's gonna force you.
It's gonna force me to just pick one for. No, well, they said they're gonna promise a four star pilot. So
yeah, you're guaranteed at least one. But this is the
3,000. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, just go with it. Go with it.
All right, let's see how it goes. Let's see how it is.
Okay, do you see any? How many rainbows do you have?
One gold, one rainbow.
Okay, good.
That was it.
Oh, one gold, one rainbow. That's it.
No, two gold and one rainbow.
Oh
wow.
Then Rauga Senba. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, and then every time you get a new character, they're gonna do a character introduction. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, he also got Nina. Oh, great, table. The crazy girl. The crazy girl.
You got okay. Table fucker.
She's garbage here, by the way.
I'm Nina Einstein. You're joined the student council too? Oh, God. I don't know if I want
to. She's garbage here until, like, gold maybe factions, is?
But... Shirley. Okay.
Okay, that's a healer.
I'll take Shirley. You help this gas, okay? As a fellow member of the student council, I'll do whatever I can. All right, common. This is Toru. Okay.
Toru's not bad.
Gold, it is. Oh, God, Jeremiah. Okay, so I have
Jeremiah. Okay, that's good.
All right. Okay, I also got a KMF get.
So
your frame.
Yeah, so some of the 3 and 4 star characters will come with brand new frames. So that kind of plays into the...
Right, so here's your rainbow, 4 star, and that is... Oh, Euphemia. Okay.
Okay, you're the best healer in the game. You have the best healer in the game.
All right, so I'll put that in my team.
You have the best healer, but you have...
A must.
You have no offense, though.
She's squishy, but keep her in line.
Shirley's another healer, so that's the other bad part about it. Jeremiah's an attacker, right? So I would imagine he would be
Jeremiah's
pretty
an
good.
Attacker. I don't know if you're going to get it.
You don't need Shirley.
Silver, and I got Shogo Asahina.
Okay, that's not bad.
But if you have Yuffie, you don't need Shirley.
Yeah.
Another silver, and it is... Oh, God, this guy, Lloyd.
Lloyd!
Once again, garbage tier, unless it's for factions.
That's an interesting frame. I'm Lloyd, Chief Wrestler from Aztec.
Oh, yeah, that... Okay.
Let me see that frame. Another silver, and it is... Oh, the hot one. Rakshata.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's solid. Solid for any Black Knight team that you start, you're going to need her. Because...
And then this is just a common. This guy? Rivals?
Rivals.
Useless.
Yeah, indeed. All right. And I think that's it. Yeah, that's everybody. Okay. Not bad, I would say.
Not bad.
I would have gone if I gotten like C2 and Colin, but
yeah.
You know what? You have Shirley and what was it? Femia? At least both of them can help me out in the healing side, I guess.
Yeah.
You have Yuffie, you don't need Shirley. I mean, if you want to double up on healing, sure, but Shirley is just compared to Yuffie.
Alright, so yeah. I'll put Yuffie on my team then, and then when it comes to attackers, definitely Jeremiah in this case.
Yeah, Jeremiah.
Right. Anyways, there's my pulls. Now I'm ready to start a team up for your guys' game.
We're going to keep going to the podcast. It's going to still fucking walk you through. It's still going to handhold you, so we're going to keep going. We're going to shift gears. We're still in gaming, and we're going to talk about Cyberpunk and the fact that 2.0 has just come out. And yeah, if your PC isn't cooking, I applaud you.
If you're smart.
the PC is cooking.
Just put the Rocks like intro there. Just why not?
Oh, I will.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking.
So just in case, by the time you're hearing this, Phantom Liberty will be out. And by then, if you know that Phantom Liberty out is already, you probably know that 2.0 is out by the time this recording is occurring. And I thought for a minute, okay, I'm gonna hold off on pre-ordering Phantom Liberty because I've seen enough to where I like it. But also, I've seen a lot what's happening with 2.0. I was like, okay, you know, I'll pre-order it. Yeah, fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, I can't fool again.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
Fool me one time, shame on you. Fool me twice, can't put the blame on you. Fool me 3 times, the peace sign, load the chopper, let it rain on you.
But I said, you know what? You know, I it's good enough to where it's like, okay, fine, I'll throw 30 bucks. It's like, I'll throw it now or I'm gonna throw it on game day. But we did get the Phantom Liberty in update 2.0 PC requirements. At most, you need a i7 7700 or a Ryzen 5 1600, and then you need a GTX 1060 or a Radeon RX 580 or even a Arc A380. But that's just for minimum. It says for ultra, you need a i9 12900 or a 7900X from the Ryzen line, and a 3080 or 7900 XTX.
That's for minimum, right? This is for minimum, right?
That's ultra.
With no ray tracing.
Oh,
god damn.
If you want ray tracing minimum, you need at least a 2060. At least a 2060. And then for CPU, even then,
it's going to be eating up all your RAM.
Yeah, because you need at least 16 gigs of RAM to run this game and about 8 gigs of VRAM. Now, if you want to play on the brand new ray tracing overdrive mode that you've been kind of hearing from NVIDIA touting that shit even before the 40 series came out, you need a 4080 to play this game to hit those benchmarks.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
And you need 24 gigs of RAM.
Wow!
What?
Holy shit.
Now, there's an article we're going to post from shacknews.com, and they do have the charts for both Cyberpunk, the Phantom Liberty, and 2.0 update system requirements. But there's also a chart for launch Cyberpunk from 3 years ago. A 3080 was great for ray tracing ultra in the original Cyberpunk, but now it's ultra without ray tracing.
Jesus.
God.
Well, I mean, you could still do ray tracing ultra, but instead of a 3080 at minimum spec, they want you to have a 3080 Ti.
Oh, yeah.
To play ray tracing ultra.
No.
Right?
So, unfortunately for Matt and Jericho, and I do believe Nate as well. Actually, no, Nate has a 3080 Ti. He'll get by.
I play the game.
Why haven't you?
That's a good question. I'm busy.
Is there 12 gigs of VRAM on the 3080 Ti?
Yeah, I think so.
Yes.
I think more than that, right?
It's not a 3090 where it has like 24 gigabytes, but it's like, I do believe it has enough to run it. Yes.
I like how they put down for the storage that they recommend NVMe 70 gigabytes.
You need an NVMe to run it. You can't run it off of anything else.
Well, no, it says SSD. It's
mandatory.
You can have an SSD. Wait, what? You can have an SSD or an NVMe drive. You can't have a hard drive.
It has to be a solid state drive or above. Yeah, you cannot run a disk drive for this game.
So I played a little bit last night to just kind of just in tune the game. I'm through like the first part, like the very first part of the game, on 1440 high with ray tracing low. I'm getting about 55 to 60 frames depending on if I'm indoors or outdoors. So, yay!
So have you guys ever tried it? I mean, Ryan, I think you played the new Cyberpunk then, if that's the case, right? I think
I've played through vanilla. I have not done a run of 2.0. I'm probably going to end up running the game and see how much potato it comes up to. I mean, at least from what I've been reading with DLSS and ray tracing on, I should expectedly get 60 frames a second with ray tracing. I'm not going to be able to play the game natively still, even with a 3090 water cooled, but like at the very least playing the game at 60 frames native, 60 frames with DLSS and ray tracing turn on, I can't really complain. I can still play 2.0 or Phantom Liberty without any issues. Now, I'm not going to get the highest possible frames possible because I don't have a 4080 or 4090, but I'd love to see this game in comparison with my 3090 with a 40 series card and see how it plays out. I'd love to see it. And to answer your question, Jericho, from earlier, the 3080 Ti does have enough, has the 12 gigabyte memory bus to actually play the game, but you're going to be using all your resources at that point.
Wow. fuck, man.
Yeah, also cool. Not to mention, the new 40 series cars has DLSS 3.0, and, like, now DLSS 3.5, which this game, like, wants to run on. So now there's that, and there's also, like, the deep learning shit that NVIDIA is just banking on for like, this ultimate experience from Cyberpunk. If only with the 40 series. So if you're a 30 series, you have DLSS 2.0, yeah, you're fucked.
Yeah, damn.
It gets some minor upgrades from the new DLSS, or at least some of the DLSS learning curves and all that jazz, but it's not going to be as efficient, or not really sufficient, but, like, it will not suffice compared to what we're getting with 4080s and 4090s. Dear God, this game on a 4090, though.
But at least I could still play this game with DLSS, because if anything, I might stop playing Cyberpunk and just focus on Cyberpunk, because at some point, because I believe with Phantom Liberty...
Wait, hold on. You're going to wait, you're going to quit Cyberpunk to wait off and play Cyberpunk? What is that supposed to mean?
No, sorry. You might have misheard me. I'm going to stop playing Starfield.
You said Cyberpunk twice. Okay, so you meant Starfield.
Yeah, yes. Sorry. Did I say Cyberpunk twice? I'm sorry. I meant to say, because with the whole DLSS thing, last time I checked, DLSS is not on Starfield yet. So I'm going to pause on Starfield. Fuck that game. And I'm going to start playing Cyberpunk. I think it's Lords of Dogtown. That's where the Phantom Liberty DLC will kick in. So I have a long way to go between where I'm at now and that mission. So I will definitely get to the Phantom Liberty DLC probably after I get it downloaded. But nah, this game, like, so far, just like for me playing in a 2.0, it's like I'm playing a different game. It's so weird.
So is it worth it?
It is. Yeah, it's highly worth it.
Oh yeah, it's highly worth it. Is it 3 years worth it? Definitely not. It's worth it now. Which is unfortunate, because I don't want it to be like, I don't want to wait 3 fucking years for a good game when it comes out, you know, potato on fucking day one in 2020. Yeah, I had fun with it, but I can see the flaws.
Okay, if anything, this is probably giving me a head start of actually starting to play the game. So if anything, maybe. I might actually consider probably playing Cyberpunk 2077. But it's on PC only, or is it also on, like, PS5?
It's on console as well. So you are going to get the 2.0 and Phantom Liberty update on console. Just know it will play particularly at a lower frame rate or lower graphical fidelity compared to what we would get on PC. So expect kind of potato, but not exactly potato.
You know,
say, for example, like, I get it for the PS5. Would it be better? I mean, I would imagine the performance would not be as good as PC, but, you know. Still can
you're
play.
Gonna get the free, you're gonna get the free update, because that's part of the PS4 version of the game. There is no official PS5 version of
Cyberpunk. No, well, nonetheless, it's still upgrading it, because PS5s can play PS4 games. So,
well, no, that's what I'm getting at. There is a PS5 version of the game, but you have to update it. You know how like the free PS5 updates are for games, right? That's gonna be on Cyberpunk. So you're gonna get that, and then you're gonna be able to play it at the highest possible frames, but it's comparable to what we get on PC, you're not going to get the same experience.
I see.
Okay. Especially with the Phantom Liberty update.
I see. You were saying something, Jericho?
So I really wasn't into Cyberpunk myself before, but I think with the new update, I think I just might restart my run, because I'm barely into the... the first part of the game, I think. I mean, I think, the major story... Once you get in touch with Johnny Silverhand, I think I can, basically restart. I'm totally cool with that. But I think one of the main draws that got me into playing Cyberpunk was watching Edrunners.
Oh.
To which, I have to ask Nate.
Oh, yeah, I have to play. I have to watch that still.
What? Like 4 to 5 podcasts already, and you still haven't watched it?
No, I haven't. No.
It's so good, though.
I've been too busy watching the new One Piece, okay?
Okay, no. I'm not gonna say anything.
Gear 5 wackiness.
You're just as bad right now as the Payday 3 servers.
Oh my God.
Oh God, I heard about that.
I heard about that too. I heard it was really bad. Ooh.
Jesus.
You still can't play the game.
Of course I can.
No, it's still down.
Oh, it's still down. Oh shit.
It's still down.
We're seeing all platforms unable to match make. The team is working hard to restore functionality.
Terrible launch.
My God.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so Payday 3 came out today as we're recording this, and yeah, it's the servers are down.
That's so bad.
It sucks for those who have fucking Game Pass.
Yeah.
Oh dear God. I mean, I think it sucks for those who don't have Game Pass, who bought the game outright, and it's like, yeah, I can't do nothing about it.
Right, can't do anything about it. You can't do anything about it just since it's all what is it? Since all the servers are down. So
yeah. Hey, but you know what though? That's not the superior way to talk about today. We need to talk about Persona 3 Reload.
Oh man.
Woo. So as of right now, Tokyo Game Show is happening, and earlier this week we did get the third trailer for this game, and my God, yes, it doesn't have the social links that I've been wanting. We might get that next. I'm gonna keep saying that until we actually get it, but I think here is fucking fantastic, because what have we been saying for a while? We need a Strega backstory, and we're gonna fucking finally get it.
Yes.
Yes. Oh
my God. We've been waiting. I mean, to be fair, like, we wanted us something to actually know about the Strega group and everything. So now the fact that they're gonna have now the fact that they're actually like characters in the game that are playable, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah. So we do have new portraits of Takaya, Jin, and Chidori. Takaya is gonna be voiced by Damien Mills. Jin is gonna be voiced by Chris Hackney, and then Chidori is gonna be voiced by Merritt Lighton. And my God, like, goth mommy waifu, come home, please.
I think that's what Junpei was thinking.
Right? That's what Junpei said. What do you think? Why do you have a Junpei made? Come on.
Chidori's coming back, but yeah.
But hey, Chris Hackney. Okay,
I mean, the other thing too is that you also get to see the character designs of the Strega group, and
yes,
they look flawless as heck too. I mean, yeah, we already saw the main C's group. Now you're seeing the Strega group, and now you get to see more of the characters coming out. I mean, if anything, well, we saw Elizabeth too. Elizabeth is also in there.
Oh,
so
we'll get to that in a second.
Okay,
but yeah,
but nonetheless, they look great. Like, designs again, stunning. So, oh my God, it's living up to the hype right now for P3 Reload.
So, in addition, we got our first look at Elizabeth. We also got our first look at Ryoji and Pharos. And guess who's voicing both Ryoji and Pharos? This should be a given. It's the same person who voices the protagonist,
Alex Lee.
Yep, Alex Lee is doing both Pharos and Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Ryoji.
Elizabeth, I'm sorry. So
it's the Yuri Lowenthal thing all over again.
Huh?
So any way you look at it, it's the Yuri Lowenthal thing all over again, but this time with
Alex Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they do the same thing with JYB for Narukami and Adachi?
Yep.
Yep.
This is how he announced that he's voicing the voice of Pharos.
wait. What? No. Really? Wow.
Just oh, he also did this tweet too, which is amazing.
Which one?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
This dude is shit posting for Persona, and I'm all fucking for it.
Yeah, definitely. I think he also like did shit post some things too, like for.
Okay, that's actually pretty funny. All right, yeah, not gonna lie. He's taking He's taking the high road when it comes to actually announcing the voices of people, which is pretty cool. Like, you expect just like a regular post saying like, hi, I'm happy to announce that I am this person. But doing this is actually pretty funny.
Oh, and he's also fucking Johan in Eternites too. Oh, shit.
I still need to get that game.
It's not even out yet, but it's coming out next month.
It is out already. Wait, yeah, Eternites is out.
I just checked it on GameStop's website. They said it's not out until later this month.
Fuck, it's like sitting on my cart right now on Steam, bro.
No, yeah, I think the Steam version is out now. The PlayStation version may not be out till later.
It's not even out until November 16th, according to what I'm seeing on our website.
Okay, so yeah, if you check Steam, it's out now.
Hold on, hold on. This is my favorite Alex Lee shit post. This is great. I hope you'll pop up.
There it is. Oh my god, I saw that one. Yeah,
I saw that one during AX.
Yeah, I saw that one too. Oh, he's cosplaying. He's cosplaying. That's great.
There's that. And then as Nate alluded to, we saw our first, we have a first look at Elizabeth, and they show the Elizabeth dates, including her going up the escalator.
To all customers, please do not move in the opposite direction of the escalators.
Oh, it's so great. And then if you watch the trailer, the ending part is her in the music room singing the Velvet Room song about Igor.
Velvet, oh velvet, my master has a long nose.
Yeah, that's right. Something about a big nose.
All together now.
Velvet, oh velvet, my master has a long nose.
Which is a callback, if anything, because that song initially showed up in Persona 4 Arena. But it makes sense that it was Elizabeth's song, so it kind of makes an appearance here in Reload. So with the new trailer, we also got an introduction to this new system called Therogy. Essentially, it's kind of like a building meter for an ultimate. And when the gauge is full, you can unleash it for like an ultimate attack. If you watch the trailer, you can see Junpei. He pulls out his ult. He runs, then he trips. And then his persona does the work, and then he comes up and fucks you up. There's also Mitsuru. She looks, she's on skates. She's about to fuck you up. Also, but according to this, fusion spells will be directly connected to Therogy. So unfortunately, you won't be able to spam Armageddon anymore with fusion skills. RIP. You know how broken that shit was.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of details that you may have seen. You might have seen the text that Junpei sent to not Makoto. What's his fucking name? The main character. I'm fucking blanking. I don't know why I was not blanking on his character. Makoto. It is Makoto, right?
As far as the movie goes, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So it is Makoto. Yeah. So it's like a text message from Junpei to Makoto, and it's like, this is actually introduction to the Link episodes, where instead of giving you an expanded social link, they're going to give you a backstory. So while Junpei's social link won't be changed, his character will be expanded upon through the Link episodes. Same thing for example Ken and I think it's for at least all the male social links, and I don't know who else is gonna be. But you know, overall, this game is looking more and more and more fucking amazing. And one more thing. So there is a baton function in this game, but it is not the same. It's not what it was in Persona 5 Royal. It's more like what it was in the original Persona 5. So instead of giving you a boost, it's just you're basically passing on the attack to somebody else.
Interesting.
I'll post the link in our show notes. There's a Reddit post out of Tokyo Game Show. Because out there, Sega has this booth, and they also have like a stage. And they did a performance of the new song, It's Going Down Now, to a bunch of dancers. And it's like the full version. It goes on for about like 3 minutes.
Times we need focus, they go first before jumping on the same mistake.
yeah, this
song.
This,
the song slaps. I mean, the song is really cool to listen to.
Yeah, the song fucking slaps. Like, oh my fucking god! And like some of the stuff you might have seen, like the new character portraits.
I miss Lotus Juice. Have you seen the tweet where Lotus Juice actually was playing the game?
Yeah, I think I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm nothing right now more than like C2's eating that pizza right now. I'm like,
oh, sorry. I don't think he was playing the game. He was at TGS.
He was at Tokyo Game Show. Yeah.
Yeah. So we get to see. I see photos of him like in front of the Aigis statue and in front of the booth.
I want that Aigis statue on my collector's edition. I want the 1-to-1 scale of it.
Oh. You mean that new one that's coming out in 2024? The arena one?
Yeah, I think that's it.
No. They announced another figure that's coming out.
Yeah, it is. I have it right here. Yeah, it's the Ultimax Aigis.
Yes.
Orgia mode. That looks hella cool, by the way.
Yeah. Ooh. So that's coming out in 2024.
But then, the stand that had, I guess as like the front for the P3 reload booth.
That was nice.
That looks pretty cool. Yeah. So
that's
to
the
say the least,
you're gonna get in the collectors for the US version, or at least the.
Yeah, if I ever pre-order that.
I got mine through Amazon, so it's still doable. At least
is it? I don't know. Let me check if I can still do that.
You might be able to get it, but I know I got mine through X. Unfortunately, I have to get mine on Xbox over PS5, and I know you don't have PS. I don't have Xbox,
so I don't think that's gonna work.
Keep trying. It was temporarily out of stock for the PlayStation, so check it again. Mm-hmm.
I do. I know it's not necessarily related to Persona, but since it is a Sega property and Sega related, y'all pay attention to Yakuza or Like a Dragon now?
It's literally coming out the same week or the same day as freaking Tekken. So it's like if you're not beating the crap out of people, you're beating the crap out of people.
Well, here's the thing though. Like, apparently for the sequel to Like a Dragon, or like, you know, the next Yakuza, it's hard to say, with Ichiban, and mm-hmm. apparently Kiryu is going to be a party member, but one of the things he can do apparently is like he can break out of the turn-based bullshit, and he can just go ahead and do the whole classic Yakuza gameplay during his turn.
Wow.
It's amazing. I love it. It's like, oh my god.
So pretty much,
of course,
pretty much Kiryu breaks the fourth wall.
It's not that he breaks the fourth wall. I think he's just not going along with Ichiban's bullshit.
So he's breaking Ichiban's fourth wall.
Yeah.
That was the stuff that I saw that in the background. But beyond that, in some other news, I found out like this Tokyo Game Show. I don't know if it's because like we're coming off the high that was Gamescom or all summer Game Fest stuff, but it's like for example, for God fucking sakes, Square Enix had about an hour, and all they did was shove a little bit of Final Fantasy, and then they played fucking Foam Stars for the rest of their block.
Really?
Like, shit you not.
Foam Stars!
Foam Stars! I mean, 505 games, it was okay. MiHoYo was all right.
So more Genshin Impact stuff? Is that what
Yeah,
we're
Genshin,
at?
more Genshin. Star Rail.
I was assuming they'll bring out like something for the PlayStation or something for the PS5 version, since they said they're going to have.
PS5 is getting a version. If you pre-order the game for $10, you get a bunch of pre-order bonuses.
There it is.
For a fucking free-to-play game.
Yep.
Pre-order a free-to-play game.
Yeah, pre-order a free-to-play game, but then you all get all the skins while nobody else does.
The only way to get it is on PlayStation. It is going to be $10, and once the game releases, you'll never see that pack again.
They're making it limited edition for sure.
Of course. Yeah, they during the Tokyo Game Show trailer, they showed off Dan Hong Alter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, he looks broken as fuck." But yeah, I think the highlight of TGS was Sega Atlas. Capcom was all right. I think a lot of Monster Hunter fans are pissed off that it was an announcement of an announcement. hey, wait for the 20th anniversary announcement next year. I'm like, really? You gonna do that to all your Moho fans?
At the very least, they have the new Niantic like mobile game that plays like Pogo.
Yeah, I saw that. They didn't really... Did they not say anything that we didn't already know? I think they might have. See, this is the problem with TGS, is that it's kind of hard because they don't really front load all the information, and you had to have to sift through all of these like these smaller conferences instead of just putting it right at the very beginning. Like, as soon as the show opens, boom, it's your big hitter. It's kind of like how Gamescom was. You know, you have Opening Night Live, bring out all your games, bring out everything you need to bring out, and just go for it. Like, and even then, like, for example, Konami, they're promoting the new Silent Hill games. They didn't even have a time block on the online portion of TGS. So I don't know what the fuck they're doing out there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
Konami's just being Konami, not giving a damn.
Yeah. I mean, that or just promoting another fucking Metal Gear Solid Pachinko game.
Shut up!
I mean, they are doing another Contra to much not popular belief.
Oh yeah, I heard about
Rogoff's
that.
Kim Rogoff's was a complete flop.
Yeah, I kind of heard about that, but no, I talked with Ryan a little bit about this, like, earlier today. I feel like TGS has lost some of its luster, because back in, you know, our day, it was all about E3 in the summer and then TGS in the fall. And then that was the only two games you paid attention. Maybe you paid attention a little bit of GDC in January. You might have paid attention a little bit of PAX East or PAX West when it was first happening. But now all of a sudden, like, E3 is no more. It's now Summer's Game Fest. You know how Gamescom, which was an afterthought years ago, and now it's like almost like the premier gaming exhibition. And like now TGS is more like an afterthought, if anything. It's so weird to me that we used to care about TGS. Now it's just like, what the fuck's happened?
Well, a lot of it comes down to like companies doing their own streams and directs. Like, why do that when Nintendo can do their own thing? When PlayStation literally did their own thing last week. So why bother?
You know? I have a feeling it's kind of like the E3 effect, for example, because, you know, E3 is pretty much dead considering like how all the big companies are just pretty much doing their own shows. I mean, State of Play for Sony.
Shut up.
Wait, what?
Jericho just said that. Shut up.
Well, I'm trying to emphasize more about it. I said E3. Yeah,
Developers can, especially with the resources, at least the major developers, can like reach out and, you know, like make their own video and like showcase their products without needing to be at a trade show. You know, hell, indie places.
Yeah, I have a feeling like, I mean, what we're trying to say about like the fact that, you know, like gaming shows like TGS and E3, for example, seeing the fact that they're going downhill, like they're not really having that much hype. It might be just because of what Jarek was saying, the whole fact that companies are just going to just do their own showcases instead of just going to a big showcase and showcase their games there.
But even then, let's say Square Enix, you don't spend your entire blog talking about, well, you can, because was it Square Enix some Game Fest ago where it was just all fucking Guardians of the Galaxy? And we were like, why is this that. All yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy? Give us something better.
That was, I remember that.
It was also E3 at that point.
Also E3 upon, yeah.
I mean, I'm also really confused a bit because Xbox made a strong showing at TGS this year too. Like, y'all seen the like all the Game Pass titles they're announcing?
Oh yeah, I saw a little bit of that conference.
Yeah, Ace Attorney trilogy, the Like a Dragon Gaiden, a Dragon Ishin.
If anything, it's so weird because, like, for example, Game Awards, they would announce, like, you know, a couple of games to announce before the year ends. Summer Games Fest, for example, they do that as well. Announce those games to come out during, like, the year or next year, to say. I know that's not really, like, a trade show where you get to see, like, you know, like, the big companies showcasing their games. This is just more of, like, a presentation. Like, for example, Summer Games Fest, that showcases like games coming out, you know, things like that. So if we have to wait for the Jeff Keighley jerk off hour again so that we get to see more games.
I mean, we are right around the corner for Game Awards in like three months, so going on 2 months because it's almost the end of the month now. So looking at it from that aspect, we're going to get more announcements. We're going to get more things down the line. Not to mention, we're going to see if Matt's right and see if Fae Farm actually gets Game of the Year, which we all know that's not going to happen, but...
It's going to fucking happen!
It'll be so funny if that actually worked out.
Jericho, why? And the old Matt...
Because my girlfriend likes it, so there. Game of the Year for her, therefore it is for me.
I'll say this. If Matt ends up actually getting that right, we owe him money.
We all owe him money.
I would owe him money.
I agree with him.
Be it right or the other case then.
Speaking
if
of,
if Fae Farm wins Game of the Year, I give Matt my Switch and give up on. I quit Switch altogether.
Is this a real deal?
Get with the hype, Brian. Go get Fae Farm on Nintendo Switch.
Look. We know the Game of the Year for the next 2 years. This year is Fae Farm. Next year is Spy Anya. That's how things are. Does Starfield have Anya in it? No.
Tell it to my friend. My friend is the one who's kind of saying, like, I told him about your prediction, Matt, that Spy Anya will be like Game of the Year next year. And he says, no, wait until, what was it? Paper Mario comes out.
Does Paper Mario have Anya in it?
No.
It doesn't.
Therefore, it's not going to win Game of the Year.
I'll tell him that.
Speaking of money, I really want to get to this really quick because we've heard this through the grapevine that the reason why the entire cast got replaced with Persona 3 Reload is they're all non-union contract workers or it's cheaper. Well, Zeta Robinson did come out on Twitter or X, and he basically confirmed that this game is being worked on with a union contract.
Which is good.
Yeah, which means everyone's going to get credited this time around. Because if you notice in the original game, some credits did not come through because they were all non-union.
Yeah, nice.
So at least, yeah.
If anything, the credits will be there on, you know, during the game, which is great. I mean, good. I mean, it's kind of great that Zeta Robinson pointed that out. Really great voice actor, by the way. No, it's good to hear that so that people don't get confused and things like that. And the fact that Atlas didn't cheap out in this case. I understand why they had to replace voices just because, you know, if you're going back to a game that's like hella years old, you do need new voice actors to pretty much like have a fresh like taste when it comes to the game to say.
Says that and then the same people for Persona 4 for 10 years straight.
It's fine. We had to play something before the next Persona game.
And then Troy Baker goes out and makes it The Last of Us. Troy Baker's too good for Persona. He's too good for us. Troy Baker, come back to the Persona franchise.
You know what? No. I love Matt Mercer. Fuck that.
Okay. Yeah, if anything, Matt Mercer is still a good voice actor, too. Mm-hmm.
Both of them were solid Kanjis, to say the least.
Oh yeah, Kanji
and Yusuke. I can only imagine, like, in my head now, both Kanji or Yusuke just trying to lead a D&D game somehow.
Oh, God. Speaking of leading, I don't know how I'm going to get to this. Jericho, thank you for letting me know that the coin clothing line for Persona 4 is back up, including the Chie jacket.
I want it.
I want the Chie jacket.
Trials of the Dragon.
Wait, this was you, Jericho, who put it up?
Yeah.
I really want this. I really want it.
I swear to God, like, since he mentioned it, like, that's how my wallet feels right now. I want to get this freaking jacket, but I've been Trial of the Dragon, like, Yosuke, and my nads are, like, all over the place.
Trial of the Dragon!
Matt, just put it in there.
Hey, Chie, I just want to...
Trial of the Dragon!
Oh, motherfucker!
Okay, let's go to Juness!
Yeah! Trial of the Dragon! Trial of the Dragon!
So for there are only four jackets, but the Chie jacket is like obviously legit, like a cosplay thing. So, but then also the 25th anniversary jacket is cool too. If you're into that.
Oh man, I can't pick.
That's me too. I can't pick either.
Because the thing is that the 20th anniversary stuff isn't going to be around anymore because we're going to be past 2025.
Oh, you're right. Yep. You're right. Oh, but I want the GA jacket. Why not? I know somebody's going to say, why not both? And I'm like, that is another choice too.
Speaking of I want both and I want it now, we're going to move on to KomoriCon news. And we talked about Star Dive Foundation being a guest of honor. They're going to perform at the convention. After that, we got an announcement that Acme is going to be at KomoriCon. Well, not really. Okay, let me explain it to you really quick. So they're going to be doing autographs. They're going to be doing, the usual con stuff, but they're not going to perform. They are going to be performing, though, at the KomoriCon after party presented by Fakestar. It's happening the Sunday of, that'll be the 19th. It's happening at the Bossa Nova Ballroom. It's at 722 East Burnside Street in Portland. If you know your Portland area, that is one block over from the Sizzle Pie on Burnside. Tickets are $20 advanced and then $25 at the door. And it includes not only Acme, but Caleb Hiles and Kikyo. So,
Kikyo. Whatever. Yeah, anyway, whatever.
The point of the matter is that Acme has been relegated to the after party.
So here's the thing. This is in a different location. You said it's like one block away from Sizzle Pie.
Yes.
Not in front of, not on the convention center, which is interesting. Because yes. Acme always plays at the con center. I mean, from 2 years ago. Now that they're performing over here at this, looks like it's a bar, right? It's a bar, right?
Yes, it's a bar slash like a small concert venue.
I would say this a huge downgrade for them.
Yeah, kind of agree.
I mean, I don't know what the agreement is between KomoriCon and Fakestar because Jericho did put me onto this. Acme, they're doing their fall tour. And they are gonna be at a couple of anime cons, but also something in Costa Mesa. Off the top of my head. But
yeah, at the Wayfair.
At the Wayfair, yeah, in Costa Mesa. And I kind of feel like maybe it's just like they just don't want to perform at the con. They just want to perform at the after party. It's kind of like their last leg of the tour. But they're going to be at Sin City Anime, though. So
yeah, I was going to say for the Costa Mesa location, is that like a small venue too?
It's kind of like one of those small rock clubs, you know.
They have a stage and then people around are just, you know, I was going to think back to like that one concert that we went to where Teddy Lloyd performed at AX, something like that.
No, think, you ever been to Whiskey A Go-Go or Roxy Theater?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Like the Palladium, the Roxy, you know, the Viper Room, things of that nature.
It's like small venue stuff.
What happened to Acme? Like, I know Fakestar like had some big headliners too. I mean, Teddy Lloyd, for example, and fingers crossed, Teddy Lloyd comes back to KomoriCon this year.
Go ahead.
I think Star Dive Foundation might be their kicker this year, and then Acme is there for the ride. Because if anything, it's like I'd be kind of glad to, you know, have to like I could just do con stuff and then all I gotta do is perform Sunday night, you know, to end up the convention.
That's true. I kind of do feel bad for Acme just because they are now in a venue that's actually like away from the convention, and I was gonna expect. Maybe some of the fans who love Acme are probably going to be there for that, but it's like I said, it's a smaller venue than a convention center, which means that how could they accommodate all those fans to go into like a bar like that?
I mean, I said the same thing about when we had the Persona concert out in Mesa for TayoCon, and that was what 400 people, Ryan?
Yeah.
And
I would imagine that being full because everyone.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. But what I'm trying to say is that's the same thing versus them performing on a larger scale. Like for the Persona people, you know, they have performed in giant stadiums in halls.
Yeah.
And here they are in a 400 to 500 capacity room in Mesa. It's the same thing for like performing, you know, for 2,000, 3,000 people at KomoriCon, and then all of a sudden now you're performing for about 500 people. But at the same time, it's just a different feel.
Here's the thing, like, yeah, it's a different feel, but at the same time, like, for all those fans that like Acme, it's like you really got to be there waiting in line once the bar opens for them to, you know, see Acme live and all.
I mean, we could be just saying this because they're at a smaller location, but you know, for those who really want to see Acme perform in a small intimate setting, this is perfect. I think we're looking through the lens of they were headliners and now they've been relegated to kind of like an after party.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I'm looking at right now. So, I mean, to be fair, it could be a good show. It could still be a good show. It's just more of like, I feel bad for Acme just because they now went to, you know, this location.
Hold on, I kind of just add my 2 cents. Maybe Acme just wants to enjoy the con.
That's true. Oh, well, they are guests. They are going to be there for all 3 days, and they didn't say they're going to perform at the con. They are probably going to have some panels for sure.
I mean, the fact that autographs, photo ops.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that Fake Star like announced, oh yeah, they're going to be here from the 17th and 19th, but there's not going to be a performance. Blah. You can still, you know, see them there.
Mm-hmm.
So. I mean, it's not a bad thing. I mean, to consider this, like, you know, during AX when we, like you and me, Nate, we saw Teddy Lloyd at that theater. I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say, it's a little bit bigger than I think 400, 500, but it still filled up
to the max. I mean, it didn't have like, it wasn't crowded, like completely crowded where it's like, you can't move at all. You definitely can move around and actually dance around with everybody there, so. It definitely was a fun time out there. And the other thing too is that this is AX's story where like Teddy Lloyd was supposed to be a headliner for Neon District until he got moved out. So
it was the other way around. He came in as a substitute.
Yeah,
for Slushy.
Oh, I see. Okay. And then he wasn't performing at AX, but he was there in LA just to perform.
For his show and decided to fuck around in AX, maybe, probably, in all honesty.
I'm not gonna lie, that's actually a good idea for
that's what Landino did.
That's true. Landino was a part of that whole DJ set too. So
$5 says they're probably just gonna fuck around at Komori too.
That might be true. There might be a show in a club somewhere in downtown Portland. Mm.
That Fake Star website, ladies and gentlemen.
Speaking of performing, so the next set of announcements for all the Harajuku fans, 6% Doki Doki and designer Sebastian Matsuda are going to be at KomoriCon 2023. Sebastian Matsuda is known for being the art director on a little known music video called Pon Pon Pon.
Oh, man.
He just recently played in LA recently, speaking of.
What? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Not even a couple weeks ago.
Okay. And then 6% Doki Doki is Harajuku fashion. So, yay, Harajuku fashion!
Yay!
Yay!
And then also going to the convention is Totonari Animation. Bellamy, Luna Brooks, and Sailor Yone are going to be heading out there. Tonari Animation, they worked on Boruto, Black Clover, One Piece, Blue Lock, Magical Destroyers. They also did the YouTube shorts Guarguda Sharked, and then also Guarguda Blue Horizon.
Yeah, they also did Iron Mouse Unleashed.
I was about to say that.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, that's great to hear that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did make animations. That's cool. Yeah.
So Bellamy Luna Brooks worked on Boruto, Akiba Maid War, Shadowverse Flame, Ruby Ice Queendom. Also worked on Iron Mouse Unleashed. Sailor Yone worked on Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War, and in Spy Family, and also worked on Iron Mouse Unleashed. So, yay!
Awesome.
I wonder if there'll be like some like frames or stills or prints for their autograph table. I would love that. Oh, if I could get my hands on an Iron Mouse one. And
actually, for Bellamy, since she animated a couple of Gura animations, something from her about Gura would be great.
And then just other announcements about industry applications, partner table. You could buy tickets for the KomoriCon after party. And then a correction that Kikuyo is performing on Saturday.
For the last night. Wow.
No, yeah, for Saturday, which
as part of the late night dance party. Oh, okay.
Which means it could be Kikuyo and Teddy Loy.
I mean, who knows?
I'm sorry. I'm just gonna keep assuming Teddy Loy until I'm told it's not Teddy Loy.
We're hoping. We're hoping against.
I know. We're all hoping that Teddy Loy goes to
Komori. No, that's not Teddy Loy.
We still have that interview date ready. We have it all set, scheduled up in the calendar.
You know what we should do, guys? What? Just do random bullshit, like to get like, and then tag Teddy Loy on like Twitter until he gets to actually notices us. Like that, all the different people are doing like these trendy things, like Mr. Beast or.
That is Elon until he Musk blocks you.
Yeah, no, we don't want him to block us. We're supposed to be at least as quasi professional. We're
supposed to be professional. We are a press team that's supposed to be professional, not like that.
I don't know about you. I'm a certified shit poster. Professionally.
I should post on X all the time, so.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of shit posting, it's time for us to get onto the final topic where all right, follow along with you guys, all right? Hell Crunchyroll. Crunchyroll.
Oh my god, no.
No, I love my Sony overlords.
I like my right stoof.
Rita Stuffer.
Don't do this, Matt. I don't want to talk about this. Don't make us do it.
We're doing
so, Crunchyroll revealed on Friday that Right Stuff is phasing out its store and migrating its product to the Crunchyroll store on October 10th.
Oh no. This is it begins. It begins.
The end of an era, friends. It's fine.
It's fine, guys. You're going to be okay.
Dude, Right Stuff was like everybody's anime, like, was it
go to like distributors.
Well, before Crunchyroll had its store, before every like anime store. Well, before anime stores had like knockoffs in their stores and things like that, and they don't have legit stuff. Right Stuff would be the one spot to go to because they actually have been distributed from. They had like all the things from all the companies. Like, what was it Funimation, Aniplex, Bandai Entertainment? If you were alive for that,
even Sentai, which Crunchyroll no longer supports.
We'll get to Sentai in a second.
But to be fair, like I just remember a couple of times where I did end up buying a couple of things at Right Stuff, like what was it anime DVDs, a couple of like plushies and T-shirts from there. Yeah, hearing that Crunchyroll it now becoming the Crunchyroll store is quite heartbreaking.
I'm as a fellow Right Stuff member and a GOT anime member for like the last 5 years, not to mention. My go-to when it came to the holidays to buy anime during their birthday sales, their Christmas sales, their like summer and July sales, or like winter and July sales. Like they had so many good sales, their prices literally could not be beat. Being a GOT anime member, literally for the $20 you paid a year, it paid for itself because you got priority access to pre-orders, you got cheaper discounts on pre-orders, even on newer items. I mean. On clearance items, you got a heavier discount. Not to mention, they give you a lot of deals over the years. There were always the blind bags I really enjoyed getting during the holidays when they just give you a blind bag for buying like $5 of merchandise. Like, not only to see that, like, as a GOT anime member, like, what's going to happen to my membership? Like, that's going to get absorbed into Crunchyroll next month. And then what? I pay $20 for what? No reason?
Or what you can do purchase all that anime stuff that you had from your awards and before they go to Crunchyroll.
No, the thing is that they don't really give you, like, they give you coupons, but they don't, there's not, like, a reward system where you bank points or whatever to get a certain amount of something.
Oh, so what exactly are the points for, then?
I never mentioned points.
Wait, so if you continue buying from right stuff, because I only bought, like, a small amount of things here and there. It's not really, like, everyday, like, purchases and stuff like that. Do you end up actually having a reward system from that, or?
So, it's more of a discount kind of club where, like, you join $20 annually, but they give you priority access. They give you priority shipping because they put you ahead of the normal queue to ship out your things, which means it gets to you faster. You get priority access to pre-orders when they are announced, like before the general public. They give you discounts throughout the entire year, and then when it comes down to like their heavy sales that they do, like their holiday sales or their birthday sales, for instance, you get hot on top of the discounts they're already giving you. They further discount it. So I remember when I was buying my original SAO set, that was 150 originally, but when it went down to 75, they knocked it down to another, like, to $40 for my SAO set that 1 year I bought it. And I can't really complain for $110 off to buy the complete first core. Or first in the complete first season of Sword Art, like, why the hell not? That's a steal. I remember the 1 year that they were doing the limited edition for Gundam 00 on Blu-ray. That was a $200 set. I only paid $100 for. So you can see heavily why I'm upset. I'm kind of sad to see Crunchyroll absorb what remains of Right Stuff. And then I'm kind of wondering, as I said before, and I'll say it again, what becomes of my anime membership? What becomes of all my current pre-orders, so on and so forth? I mean, like, it's a whole conundrum. Uh-huh. And I'm really sad to see it go, given the fact that my Right Stuff was my go-to when I bought anime. Not to mention, I was able to do, like, Pay in 4 through Sezzle, which I don't know if they're going to do that with Crunchyroll, or they're going to do the Klarna, or they're going to do... I know they do PayPal, but PayPal is kind of like iffy at times, but yeah, no, just the fact that a lot of things I was able to do with Right Stuff, I don't think is going to be doable with Crunchyroll, and it kind of saddens me to see that.
Okay, so you asked about pre-orders, right? According to the Crunchyroll FAQ, at this time, your Right Stuff open orders and pre-orders will still be processed by Right Stuff.
Even after October 10? Even at October 10?
Well, that's what... It doesn't imply October 10th, so it says it's still going to be processed through the Right Stuff. Now, for your GOT Anime membership, Ryan, current GOT Anime members will be able to continue using the membership while orders are still being placed on Right Stuff's website until October 29th, 2023 at 11:59 CT. After October 10th, 2023, GOT Anime members will be sent a one-time promotional discount code for
Crunchyroll Premium.
10% off.
Nay, fucked up! Bullshit!
10%? I spent more on...
I love how you guys went for Crunchyroll Premium. I'm like,
oh my god.
Hold on. It gets better. Additional codes will be requested by emailing info@rightstuff.com with your Right Stuff GOT Anime membership details. These codes can be used through November 8, 2023 after your first initial purchase. Codes are limited to one per member and may not be transferred or gifted. Members may not request additional codes until current codes have been used. Your GOT Anime membership will be automatically moved to the Crunchyroll store October 25th, 2023. If you prefer not to continue your GOT Anime membership on the Crunchyroll store, please email legalrightstuff.com to catch a membership and request a prorated refund.
Oh, wow.
Well, Ryan, you are a member, so...
Rip.
There you go, buddy.
There you go, man. Only 10% off. That's bullshit.
I mean, at least give me something for Crunchyroll Premium or some shit like that.
You could have at least gotten, like, what, 3 months of Crunchyroll Premiumship? You know, that would have been great, but only 10% off, that's nothing.
I'm getting dicked for the price of what I got. I'm getting dicked for the price of what I got.
Crunchyroll's being cheap as hell right here.
but at least they confirmed that they are still going to keep selling Noizumi Entertainment licenses such as Macross and even the kickstarted Blu-ray disc release of Dirty Pair. So it's not like they're getting rid of everything. However, Media Blaster's John Sarabella came out on a YouTube video that writes up it's no longer going to be doing live action. So they're not going to sell any live action stuff anymore.
Well, that kind of sucks. I mean, if they're still at least doing the Media Blaster's anime, like all the hard to find like animes that they do, I'm okay with that. But like that still sucks for those who got the live action movies and write stuff. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot to begin with that were quality per se, but I mean, as a longtime buyer from them, it's hit or miss with the live action.
So you gotta remember, this came out during last year's Crunchyroll Expo. We were kind of figuring out what is it gonna be, and this is where it's coming to now. And a lot of people are mad that, yes, Crunchyroll is absorbing another company. They're becoming this giant monopoly that no one can stop. Yeah, they have Funimation now. Technically, they're under the same umbrella that Aniplex is. And
Funimation is gone now because Crunchyroll took over.
Yeah.
There's no even a mention about Funimation. Like, it sucks because, like, that company, like, everybody grew up with Funimation with the whole you should be watching slogan and things like that. Now it's gone because Crunchyroll just... it's just steamrolling it. I mean, just pretty much like brought it to the ground or just acquired it.
At the end of the day, boys, it's not really Crunchyroll's fault. It's Big Brother Sony.
Yeah.
My guess, Sony is eyeing High Dive right now from the looks of it.
Oh, no. Oh, my.
Let's be real.
I mean, if they do, I mean, I can watch Oshinoko now.
Or, you know, Sail the High Seas.
That too.
So I talked about this when we first heard about this. I said the reason why they're doing this is they're doing what Meta does, what Google does, what Amazon does. Instead of building out their own infrastructure to do something, they're just outright buying a company and saying, hey, you're going to do all the stuff that you do now for us. So for Crunchyroll, now it's we're going to use that warehouse in Iowa. We're going to use your shipping services, we're going to use your stuff, your payment services that you already have, since, you know, there's a fucking treasure trove of data that is connected to write stuff with everyone's fucking account. Now it's like you have all that information out there. It's so much easier to buy a company and make them do it for you instead of just having to build it out yourself. Because I felt like it was like, yeah, Crunchyroll wants to expand out because it's no longer Crunchyroll against Funimation, against Sentai, against everybody else. It's now Crunchyroll against Amazon, against Microsoft. Because what does Amazon also do? They also sell anime DVDs. Last time I checked, I was able to go on Amazon. Shout outs to Crunchyroll for giving me the UPC code for Ereka 7 High Evolution. I ripped that off, went to Amazon, boom, pre-ordered that bitch. Now I gotta wait till December for that motherfucker to come home. But it's like, they're competing against Amazon. They're competing against Target, Walmart, eBay, you know, Shopify. They're having to compete against the big tech companies in terms of like this arena of online ordering and online merch and online e-commerce.
If I may ask, or if I may have the goal to ask, though, I mean, is Crunchyroll being absorbing this? Are they going to have the same standard for Right Stuff, or are they going to have the same kind of like customer service that Right Stuff had? Like, I have to say, from dealing with Right Stuff customer service, a couple of times during my tenure with them, not really tenure, like working for them, but like ordering from them. They've been like nothing but outright courteous. They've given me like no issues. They've been upright, like stellar customer service. Now, to see that being absorbed by Crunchyroll, they're going to have the same standard. Is the website going to be as good as Right Stuff's? Because, like, don't get me wrong, I like Crunchyroll's like UI on their website when it comes to their store, but it's not as mainstreamed as Right Stuff's like complete website is. Now, I want to hope that they keep a lot of the people from the warehouse and have that same kind of ideal structure, or at least can have that same kind of customer service going forward. But again, like, where do we stand about this, guys? Like, can't really I'd hate to see people lose their jobs over this jazz, you know?
I don't think they're going to lose their jobs. They're just more incorporated with Crunchyroll, right? Because they're taking over the warehouse over at Iowa. They're not losing their jobs in Iowa, I'd imagine.
They could go with a new staff over with the original staff. You never know.
Why would they, though? I mean, that's like, why would you get rid of your veteran workers? Like, especially if they know, like, especially their experience.
Well, here's the thing. When this announcement came through, former Right Stuff president and co-founder Sean Keckler and the Right Stuff team joined Crunchyroll's emerging business organization led by Terry Lee. He then left the company last December. And then Right Stuff president and chief operating officer Christine Morgan left Right Stuff and Crunchyroll as of last March. So I don't know who is at the helm now when it comes to the Crunchyroll e-commerce division. But it's not being those by who pioneered what Right Stuff is today. And we don't know until we actually get to October 10th of whether or not it's just Right Stuff with a new coat of paint, or it's going to be this goddamn nightmare that everyone is like game planning out to be.
It's all speculation at this point, guys. But like, all in all, just to see what happens is going to be like, it's going to be sad to look at, but also just like, I hope for the best for the Right Stuff crew. That's all I got to say.
So now we have a limited amount of stores that we could buy anime. Or if you could be like people who go to conventions, you can also buy stuff from the vendors there.
third party pricing at that, though. It's not like.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not like you're buying from the official vendors like Right Stuff, or buying directly from the producers or companies like Aniplex or Sentai, which we're going to get to still. Yeah, it's not like you're buying it directly from those guys. You know what the funny thing is, too? I'll talk about that when we get to the Sentai part of it, but go on.
So, I'm not sure we brought this up on the podcast when it first came up, but in response to what happened with the whole Crunchyroll buying out Right Stuff, and kind of like this whole, like, what's going to happen to Sentai Filmworks, back in March of this year, they changed home video distributors. Now they're under something called Distribution Solutions, which is a wholly owned subsidiary of Alliance Entertainment Corporation. And they're going to be in charge of distributing the Blu-ray disc and home entertainment products that are made by Sentai Filmworks in Section 23. And this change was supposed to come through in April, which means, I don't know where you can go buy this now, but like, it can be directly through Sentai themselves, but you can't buy as of like March of this year, you're not able to buy Sentai Filmworks stuff off of Right Stuff.
Anyone want to take a gander why?
Class? I no clue. I'm still reading through this article first.
Bueller.
Wait. We're present in class. What are you talking about?
I'm not getting like any solid answers. That's why.
Well, I mean, Sentai. I mean, I'm still reading through this, so I'm like kind of analyzing what happened with Sentai.
To put it in layman terms, class, it's because of Crunchyroll, like taking up because HIDIVE being the competitor, they pretty much said we're not putting anything Sentai on our market or on our streaming service now. Given the fact that we're doing with the competitor the same thing with the Blu-rays and our subsidiary of that being Right Stuff, it's like you can't sell Sentai stuff anymore because reasons or same reasons. So now trying to buy anything freaking Sentai Filmworks related, you gotta buy it straightly from Sentai Filmworks directly. Like, there are still some products remaining still at Right Stuff for their Sentai Filmworks. There are some products that are remaining for Sentai Filmworks that you can still buy. Like, not everything, but altogether what remains of Sentai at Right Stuff, because I know they had a Sentai Filmworks sale not too long ago. But generally speaking, there after the whole merger, I doubt you're going to see anything Sentai in the warehouse again.
Wow.
It kind of makes me sad because considering the fact.
So for right now, Sentai Filmworks stuff, if anything, when it comes to brand new things for Sentai Filmworks, for example, like DVDs, Blu-rays from Sentai Filmworks titles, they all have to go for the website now. Nothing from
Right Stuff.
Nothing from Crunchyroll Store either. Oh, wow. Yeah,
after last
that's,
year.
That definitely would hurt sales, I would say. Because, if anything, it leads people to the Sentai Filmworks store now, which means that everyone's going to go to the Sentai Filmworks store and buy their animes, Blu-rays, and stuff.
But what's the percentage of the sales from Sentai Filmworks versus all the sales from Crunchyroll titles from what used to be Funimation titles?
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, and the big thing right now is that people go to the Crunchyroll store to buy anything anime now, just because of this.
If it wasn't for Oishi no Ko, would anyone know that High Dive exists?
True. That is
Danmachi. So, there's
Danmachi.
Yeah.
Somebody like Nate who just likes Attack on Titan and My Hero Academia,
that's Crunchyroll.
I'm going to be real with you guys. I never.
That's the reason why I don't know about this High Dive you're talking about until I heard Oshino Ko was in it.
Part of the issue is that, you know, High Dive doesn't have a whole lot of following, but because they have the golden goose that is Oshino Ko, you know, they're not going to let that go. I think it's because they have like that exclusivity agreement with MBS television broadcasting.
Yes.
That they can, you know, actually show that stuff. So, you know, and I think that goes back to like all the different other anime that was shown throughout the years. So like stuff like, say, you know, what was it? Chunibyo, Love and Other Delusions. Like that shit used to be on Netflix, but now it's exclusively on High Dive. Your boy Kung Ming, you know, hey, High Dive.
No, don't tell me. Wait. That tells me that all the KyoAni animes are in High Dive then. No, what are we talking about? They're on Crunchyroll too, I believe.
No, MBS. That's a completely different
Okay, sorry. That's different.
But, there's a lot of well-known animes that were on like Crunchyroll or Netflix that are no longer there because of the exclusivity to High Dive. I mean, you look like Jericho had mentioned Chunibyo, you have Clannad, you have Negima, you have World God Only Knows, things of around that nature. They own the rights to that. So therefore, you're not going to see that anymore, or that used to show up on other streaming platforms. Now it's exclusively on High Dive. So all the classic animes we knew in the late 2000s up until now with like Oshino Ko.
All I remember now is that all the Funimation titles are in Crunchyroll. That kind of sucks because like I remember they had K-On! On Netflix before. Now that's on High Dive.
That's on High Dive now, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even watch the fourth season of Danmachi because I don't have High Dive.
I don't have High Dive either. So it's to be fair, like, I mean, they had good titles. They even have like titles for this season. Dark Gathering I heard it was really good.
On record though, for anyone who doesn't know what the hell I'm talking about, or any of us are talking about when we mentioned Danmachi, and the American title drawn out is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in the Dungeon? So.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing about High Dive. Yes, you do have Oshino Ko, and you also have Danmachi. But what about the rest of these other animes that I'm hearing? What is I'm Quitting Heroing? I'm My Isekai Life, Reincarnated as a Sword. What are these titles? There's a reason why I'm not into High Dive right now. Yeah, so this is the reason why I'm not into High Dive, because I'm like,
A lot of these animes are really underrated or kind of under the radar unless you know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's under the radar. It could be something good. It's just that it's not that big of a title compared to like the other big titles that are well known, like for example Vinland Saga. What other titles was it? Jujutsu Kaisen. But you gotta blame Crunchyroll for that.
Oh, speaking of Oshino Ko, for those who are in the know, anyone who does play Phantasy Star Online, they're doing an Oshino Ko collab for the next couple weeks.
I heard of that. Yeah,
but you know what though, if anything, this now gets into a problem of there's way too many streaming services. Because now you have Crunchyroll. Even though now it's just Crunchyroll, you still have Crunchyroll, you still have Amazon. I mean, technically, you still have Netflix, you still have High Dive. Because if you think about it, like, for example, tonight, as we're recording, is the first of three episodes for The Continental. That's the John Wick spinoff series that's only on Peacock. For some people, they're going to get Peacock just to watch The Continental and watch more of the John Wick universe. For some people, they have to buy Sorry. So for some people, they have to get high dive just to watch Oshinoko, then they're going to quit high dive. But it's like, oh, I wish I could watch Oshinoko on Crunchyroll. I can watch Oshinoko on Netflix. But no, it's on this service called HiDive? What?
I think the thing, the other thing about this, because like, I know HiDive has this whole like, what was it, 7-day free trial. You can marathon Oshinoko and just in those 7 days and then just cancel it.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like,
which doesn't help HiDive at all if they were trying to say that they were going to promote anime into their streaming service.
Well, I've seen HiDive promote a lot more as of late, but I don't know if you still have the same pulling power as, let's say, giant Crunchyroll or big giant Netflix.
Yeah. So here's the thing about HiDive. When it came to Jared, I think I don't know if you saw their booth. They don't have a booth in the dealer's hall, by the way.
No, I don't believe so.
No, they didn't. Because they had a booth literally outside the dealer's hall.
I wouldn't say it was outside the dealer's hall. I know they had a promotional thing.
I know. It's like, well, that's the only thing that I saw HiDive could sit like in dealer's hall or what is it formally called? Exhibit hall. When I saw an exhibit hall, I don't see anything when it comes to the HiDive, like the HiDive like streaming service or anything like that. HiDive's like booth was literally like I would say like in the front door, like right in the front doors, not in the front doors where it's inside the exhibit hall, more like outside the outside doors. Like I tried to like, did you see that, by the way, Jericho?
No, I saw that like near the exit doors. Yeah, no, I saw it.
Yeah. So, and the only thing that they were promoting was Oshinoko and another title, which I don't know. I don't remember.
Was it Your Boy Coming Me? I think it was Your Boy.
I don't think it was. Was it? I just remember there was just two titles. And then there were just people that were in the HiDive booth just handing out flyers talking about the streaming service and everything. So that wasn't impressive. Like, if you were going to like get me to see that HiDive is a really good streaming service, that is something that I would like get myself into. Yeah, cool. A photo op with Oshinoko, with a standee of,
Oshinoko, yeah.
Oshinoko, yeah. And then some other thing. That's not really impressive. So, HiDive really...
I was, like, reviewing the maps Exhibit Hall and Entertainment Hall. Yeah, they never had any.
Yep. I'm just saying, like... It's. I mean, I understand it's a brand new streaming service, but at the same time, if you're trying to make a good footing when it comes to like trying to compete with the other streaming services like Crunchyroll, you could at least have a booth inside Exhibit Hall so I can actually get to see like more of your showcasing of other shows that you're gonna to stream. Like this, it doesn't help HiDive. I'm not gonna lie.
Again, it's so hard when everyone just wants to blame Big Giant Sony. I really don't
I gotta say this, it's tough to compete against Crunchyroll and Sony now, just because they're dominating. What can help to actually take down Big Daddy Crunchyroll?
Me playing Cyberpunk 2077 and not watching the anime. Boom. You know, just shift my priorities from anime to video games and doing a podcast.
I know, but if anything, I mean, the effort for HiDive could be a little bit more, you know, more something that could like attract more people to get into the streaming service at the moment. But for the moment right now, Crunchyroll has got to dominate.
You know what? I really can't leave this podcast on a really bad note. So I'll give you one more good piece.
I'm sorry, man. Sorry to say that.
I just found this out via Anime News Network because initially I had the link about the right stuff. There is a Gurren Lagann gacha game coming out next month.
I'm not sure if that's good news or not.
And a market oversaturated with gacha games already.
All right. So this is the full article from Anime News Network. So the official. It's through K-Lab too. Okay, that's very interesting. Yeah. So they announced about a week ago that the game will be launched on iOS and Android October 12th. So it's actually called Gurren Lagann. Fuck. I'm too tired to pronounce.
Tengen-tompa Gurren Lagann.
Thank you. This game also announced its re-registration and teased its collaboration with Aniplex's I need an anime here.
Fates?
No.
Aniplex. Madoka Magica?
Skimpier.
Kill la Kill?
Yeah.
Yay. Really? Ooh.
So there's going to be a collaboration with Kill la Kill.
Wait, you saw this over at ANN?
Yeah, so it was right next on the sidebar while I was reading the article about Reich stuff.
I just heard Grand Summoners. So yeah. I just see Grand Summoners.
Now, maybe this could be good. Because this strategy game is the first based on the anime. Studio Trigger, which features many former Gainax animators, are working on this project. So a lot of former people who did work on Gurren Lagann are going to be part of this. If that's a good thing, we'll see. It's kind of like Oda on One Piece. It's like, why did I create the One Piece live action? It's like Watanabe's like, why did I create the Kobe live action the way it was?
Get it, guys. They nerfed something really bad.
Wait, are you talking about the Gurren Lagann?
They nerfed Yoko!
Uh-oh.
That's not too bad.
Look at the English release of the game.
Okay, I'm not seeing anything wrong.
Wait, let me see. I want to check this out.
I don't see anything wrong here. She's still stacked.
Wait, let me check. Get smartphone and... Okay.
No, check out the link.
Oh, the link. Oh, I didn't know you had a link. Okay, hold on.
Yeah, we're looking at Yoko.
Covered up her chest, guys.
Oh.
Bruh.
Oh.
This is for the English release, or the Western release. This is bullshit.
Now you have fucked up!
By nerf, you mean...
Side-loading!
Okay, covered up her chest.
Oh, okay, now I'm seeing it.
I nerfed her!
I was gonna say, like, wait, I don't see anything wrong. She's still stacked as hell. Oh.
Yeah, they covered it up. They covered it up. Yeah.
Okay, fuck this game. I'm going to continue playing Code Geass.
Fuck this game, bro.
Oh, no.
This is bad news, too, Matt.
Why?
That would suck for all the Gurren Lagann fans. And also all the...
Man, this is really a bad way to end the podcast.
Actually, not going to lie. All the Yoko fanatics definitely won't be busted tonight. We'll be busted today.
Dear God, Nate. Dear God.
Why are we here? Just to suffer. What a game.
You know you local Yoko fans who are listening right now.
Damn it, Jericho, get a grip.
Okay, that's really bad news, okay?
Tell me something good.
Okay, that's really bad news. Okay, so let's see if this rolls out. Has anyone seen footage of the new Fate game coming out? Fate Samurai Remnant.
No, I haven't.
From Nisa, I haven't. I've looked into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Koei Tecmo is creating a Fate game.
You're like three games too late to be saying that, Matt. Because they've done that for Fate
Excel, the last right?
Fate. Yeah, for Excella and all that jazz. It's the same concept. It's like Dynasty Warriors, but with Fate.
I'm watching it from TGS, okay? I just remember that. Wait, this got shut off, okay? All right, I'm trying to give you guys good news to end this podcast, all right?
Tell me something good!
Whatever, we're just gonna have a fucking saber face again.
Okay, other good news. Apollo Justice is coming out January... Oh, shit, that's bad news, because that's fucking coming out January 25th!
Do you know how many games are coming out that same week that are, like, gonna be, like, killing your wallet?
Can we get an objection, please?
Objection!
You should have gotten that soundboard.
Okay, fine.
Tell me something good!
Tekken 8 adds Panda, okay? That's good news, right?
Objection.
Objection!
Look at this saber face looking motherfucker. And it's another saber.
Right. What's wrong with Panda being a Tekken 8?
Oh, she's a berserker. Ooh.
Ryan?
It's Panda's been in every iteration of the game since 2? 3? No, 3. Technically 2 if you count the alternate for Kuma, but yeah, no. Panda's been in the game since 3. Give me something new.
Okay, what about Harada spending hella money on a panda statue at TGS?
What?
Yeah. So Harada for the Tekken 8 booth, he spent a shitload of money on a panda statue.
Like his own personal money?
I don't know, but it's a panda statue. It's like, is that how you're going to announce panda for Tekken 8?
Is that how to... Oh, God.
What, the panda? The statue. Yeah, the statue?
Yeah.
Okay, that's bad news. Okay.
Tell me something good.
Under Night in Birth 2, Sis Celeste is coming out January. God damn it.
The same day. Are you serious?
And that ends our segment of Tell Me Something Good.
Tell me something good. Tell me
something good. Tell me something that's...
Persona 3 Reload game trailer highlights Striga and Tag. All right, cool. All right.
Tell me something good.
Thank y'all for listening to this really great episode of Kelly Cobb Blogcast. We ended on a really great note.
Very positive note.
Positive, yes, positivity.
If you like what you heard, you can follow us up on podcast, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And to close us out tonight, because we did open with a Flow song and a Code Geass song, we're going to leave you with an LA Project song. Once you've heard one, you heard them all. So try to figure out which one this is.
We saw her live. It's not true.
Yes, we did.
は鬼、正義は謎と、どまえに抗えよ悪徳も花。以前の夢、虫目には目を差し、善も邪も渡られることなし。光は絶え、怪獣のように、君は眠る闇の地球。孤独こそ。
哀れは麗しい善知愛の母君を産み、この地上に育み、死も魔は地獄の腹から。僕死の因、死にはなんぞと、死にもせず渦漏れし、陰徳の種、この葉の剣、無垢派には歯を向け、守るべきものだけを信じて。